Guten Abend, liebe Leute. Erneut ist es soweit. Wir sitzen zusammen hier für euch am Mikrofon und begrüßen euch zu der nächsten Ausgabe, und zwar die 17. Ausgabe der Jets Football Show. Normalerweise gehostet von Butch und Udo, aber heute ist ein besonderer Tag. Es ist in der Tat eine Sonderausgabe. Aus zweierlei Gründen. Zum einen hat der Udo Geburtstag heute, wird sage und schreibe 34 Jahre alt heute und ist deswegen nicht wirklich mit dabei. Er hat gerade die Aufnahme gestartet und wird sich nun wieder seiner Familie zuwenden und seinen Geburtstag feiern. Deswegen werde ich heute nicht aufs Fürchterliche beschimpft, wie sonst der Udo mich begrüßt in seiner netten Art, sondern ich habe, deswegen ist es eine Sonderausgabe, zwei ganz besondere Gäste. Zum einen wird mich ein ehemaliger Running Back der Jets begleiten in dieser Sendung, in dieser Folge unseres Podcasts, und zwar auch sehr erfolgreich gespielt in den ersten Jahren der Jets in den 80ern. Da hören wir gleich noch ein bisschen drüber. Ja, ich sage hallo, Dirk Schneider. Grüß dich.
Ja, hallo lieber Butch, vielen Dank, dass ich dabei sein darf. Zum ersten Mal.
Ja, auf jeden Fall sehr gerne. Wir kommen gleich noch zu dir. Ja, danke, dass du dabei bist. Wir haben dann einen Ersatzmann für den Udo gesucht. Auch weil wir einen ganz besonderen Gast haben heute, und wir werden überwiegend gleich zu der Sprache Englisch im Rahmen meiner und Dirks Möglichkeiten wechseln. Zumindest was mich angeht, aber Dirk ist da, glaube ich, ganz
Ach, we'll
bewandert.
give our best,
We'll give our best in
like
Englisch.
always.
Weil wir haben heute einen Gast, und erstmal haben wir eine Schaltung in die Vereinigten Staaten von Amerika, in die Berge von Albuquerque. Wir haben es geschafft, und an dieser Stelle noch einmal einen herzlichen Dank an Holger Raus. Holger Raus hat mir den Kontakt verschafft nach ganz vielen Jahren. Ich habe immer mal versucht herauszufinden, wo unser ehemaliger Trainer abgeblieben ist. Es nicht geschafft durch Holger Raus. Vielen Dank. Habe ich es geschafft, Kontakt zu Bill Singer zu kriegen, und ich begrüße heute Abend. Welcome to our show, Bill Singer in the USA. Hello, Bill.
Hello, vielen Dank.
Ah, vielen Dank. I see your German is still very, very good.
I can get directions and order beer, not much else.
So nothing changed. Okay, Bill, nice to
Exactly.
have you. And we would like to talk a bit, of course, also a little bit about Dirk Schneider, and then we want to talk about your life after the Jets. You've been to the audience that doesn't know you. You've been coach, head coach of the Bonner Jets from 1983 until 1988, if that's right. And we want to talk to you about the time then with the Jets in Bonn, and also about your life afterwards. Dirk, you prepared a bit. Du hast ein bisschen was vorbereitet. Ich gebe mal
Yes,
weiter an
yes.
dich.
First of all, shall I say Mr. Singer or Bill Singer? I have so much respect for our head coach that I'm still nervous
Will do just fine.
to
Yes.
address him correctly. So, how do you like it?
Bill will work just fine. Thank you.
Okay, Bill. Thank you, Bill. I'm Dirk. Anyway, I prepared a little game for the people listening to us to get you know a little better. Like millions of people around the world are following this very successful football show.
Ja, mindestens.
Therefore, we prepared a little game to introduce you to the audience, especially to the ones who never had the chance of meeting you. We'll give you two terms, like for example, tea or coffee, and you pick the one that fits to you best. Okay?
Got it.
Okay. So If you want, you may explain your decision. Otherwise, we'll come back to your top to that topic later during our interview with you. Okay, are you ready?
Ready to go.
German soccer or American football?
American football.
Well, how much do you know about German soccer?
I followed it very closely when we lived in Germany, yes. And I still follow, you know, Bundesliga and other nationality programs, yeah.
Right. Do you have a favorite team in Germany? Or have you ever been to a professional game?
Yes, I have been to professional football. Dortmund, I think, was the team I paid most attention to.
Good. Which is still a very successful team in Germany, by the way. Mm-hmm. They still are. Okay, next. Offense or defense?
Hard to say. I have coached both, but probably offense.
Mm-hmm. Why that?
Well, there's more creativity to offense in that one has to plan, one has to know the opponent, one has to then come up with an opportunity to win a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's my opinion, by the way. Just the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we got another topic. For defense, defense depends largely on the skill set of the people that you have. You must know how to use those people to their best ability, particularly the people on the perimeter, to be able to keep the play in front of you and give everyone a chance to be a part of making the tackle or making the loss, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. We got the next terms, pass or run. If we're talking offense now, pass or run.
Probably run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must say, never forgotten is our bread and butter play from the 80s. And actually, we played it years and years and years after you left, actually, in the 90s as well. That was the veer option, like the outside veer option.
Right.
I still love it. I mean, that's my play. That's my play because you can't stop it. On paper, you can't stop it. And we've been very successful in the 80s and actually also very much in the 90s with quarterback Matthias Hinzmann, who played quarterback then throughout the 90s. That was our bread and butter play then. Still, I like that a lot. Uh-huh.
Duke? I loved it, by the way. I loved it too, the veer, because if I got the ball finally as the halfback, I already gained 5 or more yards by the time I received the ball from the quarterback. So it was always a very yard gaining play for me. Mm-hmm. So when you get it as a halfback at the end, you always gain 5 or more yards and you always reach the first down. So I loved it too. Once I understood the play.
Yeah. Once I understood left or right. Da kommen wir später.
That's another story, yes.
That's another story. We come back to that later.
Rechts and links.
Rechts und links, genau. Da werden wir später drüber sprechen. Dirk?
Another issue for that, though, is the fact that with Eric Grützenbach as our quarterback, he certainly was more intelligent in terms of how to lead that offense than if he had been a pure passer. He was, frankly, an average passer and could complete passes, but that offense gave him more options. And it established against a defense the concept of run. So when we wanted to pass, we had perhaps a better option in that respect to be able to throw the short pass and create different types of attacks.
Mm. Actually, we set up the passing game with that play action, this sprint pass. You remember we called it sprint pass?
Right.
And so on, yeah, that's right. So that's how football goes, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, it's always important to keep the defense guessing. Mm-hmm. You get to have a huddle and decide what attack mode you will come in. Mm-hmm. They have to wait and see and then make quick judgments. So you have an advantage offensively in that respect.
Yeah. Good. Doug, next, please.
Zone or man-to-man coverage?
It depends on the team you're playing, but I mean, zone is safer. Man-to-man, if you have the skill set to be able to defend. We were fortunate to have a lot of good defensive backs, and that's when I spoke earlier, perimeter defense, to be able to keep a play contained, and that counts for receivers when they go downfield.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then we got here some interesting terms, beer or wine?
Wine.
Wine, okay.
Sorry, okay. I have 50 years experience in wine.
Yeah, and actually you work part-time as like a job in a wine?
Yes, I work with a large American company called Total Wine and Spirits.
Okay.
And I do some teaching with them and I do some representation for them. They have two large stores in the Albuquerque area. And I'm fortunate to work with a really good team of people there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And have you ever we're divided between New World and Old World. Guess where I work? So the Old World side is German wines, French wines, Italian wines, Spanish. So that's the side of the store that I tend to have more insights into.
Okay, good.
And during your stay in Germany, in Bonn, Germany, have you ever tried regional wine?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because as you probably remember, even in Königswinter, they provide they produce wine.
Yes.
It's one of the most northern parts of Europe where they still have wine.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Yeah.
Good.
Creates a very technical question because with climate change, it's hard to say what else might occur to either make wines better or perhaps not make wines better.
Hmm.
So weather is going to be a hugely important factor for that. Yeah.
True.
Okay. Unfortunately, Udo is gone now because he would be the expert for beer. He likes beer. Well, I like beer, but wine is also not too bad. Yeah. Okay. The next thing is that's more my part. Burger. That's from Dirk. Burger or Bratwurst?
Brats.
Bratwurst.
Really?
Absolutely. Because you can grill them.
Yeah,
you can involve more camaraderie with, and then of course beer falls back into the perhaps choice.
Okay.
But beer always will have a fondness for me because of the pub after the games in Ludwigsburg, when we used to go to the pub downtown and spend a few hours together in the evenings. Mm-hmm. That's a memory that I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what we talked before in the podcast before with like old, like for example Festus Schönenberg or Thomas Kurt, and they said like it was like a friendship, you know, after the game.
Exactly.
You sat together, you talked, and you became friends. Actually.
Exactly.
And
you went beyond simple sports and hierarchy. I'm in charge. You do what I say. This and that. Then we were able to put our arms around each other and be friends.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, Doug, next up.
Yeah, Bill, we assume that you travel a lot since you're retired. And we would like to know where is traveling more fun, in the US or in Europe? So it's either highway or autobahn.
Highway.
Highway?
Yeah. In Germany, the beauty was all the cultures were so close together. In the U.S., it's like I live in New Mexico and Arizona is here and Colorado is here. And that's more like it was in Europe. I mean, we could get on the road and go to Switzerland. We could go to Spain, to France, to Belgium. And so that change was always the most looked forward to. And of course, in some cases, it was by train. So, and again, in Europe, transportation is so much better than the US. Here, you almost have no choice. You either have to fly or drive. There is no rail system to speak of. You can only travel a very long distance or commute from one village or one town to the next. So trains are not, have never been in the US taken as seriously as Europe does.
Okay, now next, we've got three left. Jeep or Mercedes?
Jeep.
You like Jeep?
I live in the mountains, so it's an easy choice. I'm still driving a 30-year-old Jeep Cherokee.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's why. Okay. Good.
So I guess I know the answer for the next question.
Yeah.
Mountains or ocean?
Oh, absolutely mountains.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah,
I enjoy the countryside more than I do the to stand on a beach. I get nothing from that. There's nothing else there. It's just the ocean. You can't do anything else.
Yeah. So let me ask quick. You're living close to Albuquerque. And how long does it take you from your home to the center of town, like the city of Albuquerque?
We like it for that reason. So many people think we are so far away. Okay. And when I tell people the region where we live is called the East Mountains, and they are the Sandia Mountains, which are on the east side of Albuquerque. And we live on the other side of those mountains. So when someone knows that we live in the East Mountains, they go, oh, I'm so sorry. You have so far to go. And the winters are so much severe. And so my response to them is, you're absolutely right. You'd never want to come to the East Mountains. We don't want them in the East Mountains. We're very happy to have a small population. But we have an excellent highway, and it connects to an autobahn, if you will, into Albuquerque. I can be, say, to work at Total Wine from my home in less than 30 minutes.
Okay. Well, so that's
so it is, except when it really does snow. If we get a lot of snow, then that slows down.
But it's also very hot, I guess, in summer, isn't it?
Well, part of the reason to live in the East Mountains, because our elevation here is above 7,000 feet, so roughly 3,000 meters or so. And that makes it much cooler than Albuquerque. So by 5 or 6 degrees easily. When the sun goes down, the mountains hide it. So immediately it gets cooler. Because it's peaceful and quiet, it's a much nicer place to live. So, and the heat here is referred, unlike say Florida, New Mexico is dry heat, not humid. So that makes it much different. Easier to live with, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dirk, mehr oder weniger letzte oder vorletzte?
Let me take the, of course, the last question. So I left you this one, and let me ask the last question, please.
Okay. Yeah, then we got Bonn or Albuquerque. I mean, you've been talking about Albuquerque or your area. I think you like Bonn because you've been here so many years. But
we have so many fond memories, so many good memories about living in Bonn. So many things we learned. We lived in Belgium before we came to Germany. And frankly, we learned so much more about Europe living in Bonn. The culture, the personality, the people that we spent many years with. And of course, that was part of it too. We lived in Bonn for 9 years almost.
Okay.
So, you know, we became much closer to a lot of people.
Yes.
But that would be a simple question. Yeah, that'd be easy to answer.
Okay.
Bill, we invited our team members to send us questions to, you know, to forward them to you. And yep. here's one from Stefan Brühl, another halfback, number 37. He's asking Trump or Biden?
Biden.
that's a good answer.
I can only think that perhaps Mr. Trump should find a job selling used cars.
I would never buy from him.
But without any success, yes. Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, that was a little game to get into it. Conversation. Yeah, and actually, we would like to ask you a few personal details.
Sure.
I know you're in your mid-70s now.
People 77. Think,
okay, yeah. 77, yeah. Because it's been a while that you've been here in Bonn. And so now you're 77. I must say to all the listeners, liebe Zuhörer, Bill Singer sieht eigentlich noch genauso aus wie früher. Nur, dass er bisschen graue Haare, aber die habe ich ja schon. Ansonsten, you're looking good in shape. You've been to the gym this morning, you wrote me.
Indeed I was. I have 4 days a week.
4 days a week. That's more than me and Dirk together.
That's true.
I guess. Yes, great. Where's your birthplace? Where are you coming from?
What's called upstate. That's the northern part of New York.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, New York. And then you came to Europe. You said you've been in Belgium before.
Our first assignment in Belgium was to Belgium. I was at SHAPE, okay. Supreme SHAPE, Headquarters, yeah. Allied Powers Europe. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember SHAPE. So what's your profession, actually? What did you, why did you come here? What was your...
Well, when we first arrived in Bonn, I was still in the American forces. I was in the Air Force.
Mm. Oh,
so my assignment was to the embassy. And I worked with a group called the Bonn Group, which was the quadripartite unit that kept open all the options about Berlin. Should the Russians or the East Germans close down access, we maintained all of the plans for how we would refuse to allow that to happen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you've been, für alle, die uns zuhören und da vielleicht nicht so viel wissen, Bill Singer war dann auf jeden Fall Sports Director, can we say that?
Well, when I retired from the Air Force, I went to work for the embassy, and they have a group. So we had the Embassy Association. There's a large club that sits directly on the Rhine River with tennis courts and a swimming pool and all of those things for the embassy staff. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to have more freedom to be involved in sports. And when I was approached about would I be interested in getting involved with the Jets, I was more than happy to take a look at it and see how that would work out. And to, I think, everyone's surprise and maybe pleasure, it seemed to have done very well because we started when the Jets were a second division team.
Yeah.
And we had that wonderful progress that first year and were promoted to the first division.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Duke?
And who was the first member of the team, of the club, who talked to you and about the possibility of you coaching the Jets? Who was the first person who got into contact with you?
Well, from the Jets, probably Eric and his father, Gruzenbachs, yeah.
How did they
had that experience. We were closer in age to each other. Eric, because he was the natural leader of the team, and then possibly the biggest influence were the Westerhorsemans. Okay. And I had a good relationship with them because the boys had gone to the Bon American High School. And until the father passed away, he was very enthusiastic about supporting athletics and other activities at the embassy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I didn't know that.
Okay. So they just like came up to your office and said like, hi, we're doing American football.
Well, in the case of the West,
how did that work?
I think I was invited to come to a practice.
Okay.
And to get to know some of the players and the people associated with the team. Mm-hmm. And there was a gentleman whose name escapes me now, but was a teacher and his son played for us.
Franken.
Yes, Frankens, yes. He was very influential as well. We spent a number of hours together talking about how this should work and how we could help build a structure for the team to survive. Okay, yeah.
That was Günter Franken. He was like a president then, or he was.
I think so, yes.
German president of football. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And Ralle and his brother Mark, they played mm-hmm. for us. Yeah. Right. Okay. I didn't know that. So.
Yeah.
Thanks to Günter Franken. Yeah. Okay. Dirk, was hast du noch?
Coach, do you remember like the most fun moment with us, or maybe you also remember the moment that pisses you off the most? Do you have some highlights, positive or negative?
The biggest frustration, having been involved with the high school football team at Bon American High School, was the fact that we were now adults and everyone had other purposes in life. You had jobs. You had family. And so sometimes practices were frustrating because we wouldn't get to see everybody constantly at practice, so we could sense how much progress we were making. Whereas with the high school, we had fixed times, fixed efforts at practice, do this. Now, given two things, one, the Bon American High School was more an international school. We had Koreans, we had Africans, we had Israelis, we had French players. And each of them, I was lucky if I put four balls on the field, a football, a soccer ball, a basketball, and a tennis ball, maybe the second guess, they would discover which was the football. So, because they never seen the game, had no idea about it. So that helped in many ways with going into coaching with the Jets, because a lot of those players were just learning about American football. Oh, yeah. The hardest thing, I think, with the Jets to teach was contact, because mostly all the sports in Europe are about staying away from each other, not mm-hmm. running into each other, not knocking each other down, you know. So that was a challenge to try to teach a linebacker, you've got to hit him, you know. And, I got him sort of. No, you got to hit him. So those kinds of fundamentals were different. The hand-eye coordination between moving away from the foot-eye coordination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was Dirk asked about the highlights more or less, you know, mm-hmm. like a special moment, the very best moment of your history.
Probably the one that stands out more is when we won the game that allowed us to be promoted to the first division. That had been the ambition all season, to improve to the point that we could be competitive with the best teams in Germany and win that last game and have that moment of real happiness amongst all the players and the fans and then be able to see that as something that we had clearly achieved.
I guess that was 82, and that was the last home game against Düsseldorf Bulldog.
Yeah, I think so.
That was the game that made us champions of the second division. Yeah, and it was a lot of fun, and Everybody was really proud. But there's also, I want to say another game. You might remember that was the game against the Düsseldorf Panther when we beat the Panthers like the first time ever.
That would have been number two on my list. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good.
I mean, because almost no one could beat them. And we were a small town football team. We weren't the big guy that could pay for quarterbacks and pay for extra players from college, from the U.S. and so forth. We were a simple team. The biggest we got was we would pick up an occasional player, a couple of Marines, a couple of guys from the embassy, you know, that played for us for a couple of years here and there.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were, I always thought of us as sort of the mutt. You know, that all together put it, you know, let's figure this out. Let's play football.
Yeah.
Whereas the other guys were a little more elite. Mm-hmm. You know, they had more to brag about. They had professionalism that, you know, we just had energy and enthusiasm.
Mm. That's right. Yeah. So true. Yeah.
Did you ever play football as a child?
I played in high school. Yeah. I was quarterback and I was a defensive back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you didn't play college ball.
No, I did not. Oh. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to college immediately. I went one semester and then I joined the Air Force. Finished my college, my bachelor's and my master's. The Air Force paid for everything.
Oh, I
see. So that was a major reason to stay in the Air Force and finish my education and raise my family.
Okay, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite team in the NFL?
I have two approaches. One is a coach's approach. I like certain coaches because of the method and the way they connect with their team and make their team successful no matter where they coach. And many of the coaches in the NFL move from team to team sometimes. Mm-hmm. And right now, say the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, are playing tremendous football. And a lot of that is they've got a very good coach. Mm-hmm. But there have been other coaches throughout that I think have done extraordinarily good jobs with and different personalities, but they still bring that team together and make them successful.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what was the answer now? Do you have a favorite team?
Right now, I'd say probably I like watching Kansas City. I like the creativity. Okay. Yeah. I like the talent that they, you know, you have to be very competitive to find the right pieces to make that whole puzzle come together. Mm-hmm. And if you're missing one or two pieces, there's teams like that have great players, but they never seem to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is that's about coaching and that coach dealing with management to find the right player to fit that team's approach to winning.
Yeah. I think that's very important. I mean, the upper level, the NFL, everything is a great thing. Yes, but I was like most of the people know, like a good year ago, I was in Fargo, North Dakota, with North Dakota State University, and they got so good coaches, and I knew they are just doing the right thing with the guys, with the kids, you know. And of course, they've chosen that year Trey Lance as quarterback, as a redshirt freshman. And I was there and then watched those guys. And that was so perfect coaching wise, you know, and so amazing because we've been for example, in the quarterback room and the quarterback coach, Randy Hedberg, who was actually a Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback in the 70s.
Right.
He said to that quarterback, you have to tell such and such to the receivers. And this guy says, like, well, I told him already. And that happened a few times. So they've been on the same side. And what they did was like a perfect get-together somehow.
Right.
And, that's very, very important, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Tell us, please, when you left Bonn, where did you go? And I guess you told me you coached some other football teams over the world.
Our first move was to Seoul, South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And there I took a job with the Embassy Association. Again, I was the general manager, which mm-hmm. allowed me flexibility. And I ended up working with the American High School there. So they were set up. There were two or three other, I think there were a total of five teams throughout South Korea, high school teams. Mm-hmm. And so I became the head coach for one of the two teams at the American High School in Seoul. And so with that, we had very good players, a lot of enthusiasm, but a different lifestyle than playing in Germany. Germany was adults. They were all very anxious to learn to play. And that made it more, I like being thought as a teacher. Mm-hmm. Whereas coaching sometimes is really just taking what you have and making the best of it. And this was something like that. But I had one or two very good help assistants. And I coached there for 2 years. And we were fortunate enough to win the South Korea championship both years. Okay. And then we would be invited to go to Japan as an all-star team. So we would pick some of the players from the other teams, and the Air Force would fly us to Tokyo, and then we would play an exhibition game there against one of the better Japanese high school, the American high school, but Japan, yeah. in Japan. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, it was a fun experience to give the kids an extra a game and prepare for that with a whole different group of players. Some were our players from our team, some were players from some of the other teams. And you quickly, you have about 2 weeks to put it together. So that made, I did not coach in Japan. Our next posting was to Japan. And then when we left Japan, we went to Finland. And mm-hmm. in Finland, I then got involved with the Finnish league. And mm-hmm. I coached with Taft, which is one of the two teams in Helsinki. The other is probably much better known, the Red Roosters.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. So we were much back to a situation like we were with the Jets, mm-hmm. in that, you know, we had to beat the big guys if we were going to be thought of as a competitive team. Mm-hmm. So I got to be the defensive coordinator, and I worked well with the kids. Again, we did not have a big problem with English. Most of the players spoke English, and we did very well. We got promoted. So at the end of the year, we had a very tense game that we were right down to the very end, and the opponent had the ball. So it came down to our defense and the things we had to do to make sure they didn't score. So, yeah, it was a good memory. It was fun to do. I did it for two seasons, and then
that was 1990 what?
Jesus, that would have been maybe we went to 91, about 96, 97.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, and then since when are you in the States, back in the States?
Well, we came back here in 2001.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And we had already bought the house that we live in now. Okay. And we had a caretaker looking out for the house and the dogs. So that was really, we had the most, I used to tell people I had the most expensive dog sitter in New Mexico because she lived in the house at no charge. She paid the water bill and she took care of the dogs. She had a new car to drive. And we left an allowance in at a bank account to cover anything that might come up if the dogs had to go to the vet or something like that.
Okay.
And she did a good job because we did that because we were doing renovations to the house. And I didn't mm-hmm. want to put a renter in the house and then inconvenience them by paying me rent and then having, you know, contractors in putting down new floors and whatever.
Yeah.
So we thought a caretaker was best for that. And then we came home 2001, and we have been here since. So 20 years this year.
Oh, yeah, that's a long time. Okay.
And I attempted to coach here.
Is that right?
Off and on for two seasons, adults. And it ruined my whole appreciation of what it meant to be a coach. I mean, it's all about ego, and it's all about what I want out of it. And you can't show me how to do anything. I already know how to play football, you know, that okay. attitude. And it just, it took away all the enthusiasm for being a coach.
So that's what they call semi-pro, or what was
No, they weren't semi-pro per se. I mean, they were much like, you know, this team that they all had jobs, and we only had limited practice.
Okay,
but it was just a whole different personality and attitude about it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Dirk, du wolltest noch was sagen?
Yeah, I just wanted to know why did you move to Albuquerque? So was there a family background to New Mexico? Or?
Good question. When I was still in the Air Force, we were assigned here. And when we went to our next assignment, you can't believe how terrible the next assignment was. We moved to Hawaii.
terrible.
I know.
The weather awful. I know
that was the assignment before we came to Belgium, so you know, we left the sunshine and the warmth for the damp and the dark of Belgium.
Why did you prefer Albuquerque rather than Hawaii, for example?
Well, the climate. It's a beautiful year-round, four seasons. We live in the mountains here. We didn't know that then, but very good health facilities, two or three major hospitals here, health plans and so forth. A very good cultural scene. There's lots of good music and acting and theater and so forth. So there's a lot of things to fill in your space around that, make you a bit more complete. An easy travel place. New Mexico goes from the south, right at the Mexico border, where there's the White Sands National Monument, there's Carlsbad Caverns, to the far north, which is next to Colorado. And you have world-class skiing in Taos. Mm. So you have beautiful forests and dark greens at the top and stark deserts at the bottom. And we're kind of in the middle. So it has all of that appeal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I have a feeling that our next veterans meeting is not going to be in Bonn, but Albuquerque.
Well, as soon as we get this silly COVID thing sorted out, you're all welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any player, anybody connected to the Jets is always is invited to our home to stay.
We are lucky we recorded that.
Yeah.
I have to interrupt.
You know, we can go down in the wine cellar. That's the first step. And then we can admire the wall with all the football from the Jets.
Ah, ja.
Perfect.
Ja, ich muss erklären, Bill Singer hat mir schon Fotos geschickt. Say that in German. Bill Singer hat mir vorher schon Bilder geschickt. Ganz interessant, ganz schön und wirklich rührend. Er hat einen Weinkeller und da hat er eine Wall of, how do you call it? Wall of love? Wall of sport? Wall of...
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, it's all of my years of football coaching and the teams. And most significantly, that big poster when we play Dusseldorf and beat them. And all Dusseldorf. The players signed the poster. Yeah.
Yeah, Dusseldorf Panther Plakat, die Spielankündigung vom Red Panther Killer Team. Genau. Und schöne Erinnerungen hat er im Keller hängen. Wunderbar. We've got another question from, I think, Smitty. Smitty asked that. Remember Smitty? Helmut Schmidt?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. The big guy. Oh, no, the little guy. Smitty asked, do you have plans to come to Germany again?
You know, I got the chance a couple of years ago. I came back with one of the high school players for a friendship game in Bonn. And that was the last time. And it was such a change because the high-speed train from the airport to Bonn was now in effect. And we had the exhibition game. And then we spent a couple of nights in some crazy place where they serve beer. I don't know where that was.
Yeah.
And I remember Udo, I think, more than anything else about that. But, it was just a wonderful time to get back with friends and so forth. And So that, you know, it was a good time. I don't know now how it might work out, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd always be ready to come back, but.
Oh, that's good.
It's a question.
Maybe we'll ship you in.
Okay.
Because we met like more or less 1.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. After years, we had a reunion in Rheinlust, that's the pub in Bonn, and mm-hmm. we had like 30 old players from the 80s, like from the old Bonner right. Jets met then, and we wanted to have more like thing like get-togethers like that.
Right, right.
But then this awful time started, you know.
I know. And, yeah.
So we couldn't do anything after that, but. We want to, and we keep you on track. So maybe,
yeah, by all means, this has been a wonderful experience, and truly to get reconnected and get to see the. And I must say, the book that you provided as part of the recognition, I've been through that book about 10 times now. I mean, just anytime I sit down, I have it down in the wine cellar, and anytime I sit down, it's the first thing I look at. No, so sure. It's something that it warms my heart every time I see that, to know that all of those players took time to be remembered. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, yes. It was a pleasure. And actually, it was Dirk's idea. Very, very good to send you some things from the old Bonner.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Ach, ich begrüße den Udo Vollberg in dieser Runde. Udo ist auch dabei. Er leistet uns noch ein bisschen Gesellschaft, ein paar Minuten. Wir sind auch fast durch. We almost made it till the end, Bill. Udo, wie ist die Party? Ja, Party ist ja nicht, aber du sitzt mit deiner Familie und fühlt sich gut? Alles fein?
Ja, wie üblich. Ich habe jetzt auch die letzten unter den Tisch gesoffen. Alle sind wieder gesunken und haben mich jetzt verlassen. Kann vielleicht auch in den sinkenden Temperaturen im Corona-Tempel liegen.
Ja.
Aber. Verfluchte Scheiße nochmal. Ich habe mich wieder gekriegt.
Bill, I have to explain, Bill. We every time we do this podcast, we have a rule. You don't say this word with C. You know, I can name it in English because that's not the word. It's COVID in English. We have a different name. And Udo just said it because, and then we go like this. And then he has to pay €5 for the Jets, you know. And because we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about football. So that's what. Huge. Okay. Dirk, hast du noch eine Frage? Udo, hast du noch eine Frage? Kannst du. Kannst gerne noch mit beteiligen.
Ich bin noch nicht so ganz im Thema und hatte euch noch was weiter. Vielleicht fällt mir noch was ein, ja.
Ja, okay, gut. Dirk, du noch irgendeine brennende Frage?
Nee, ich bin durch. Also ich gucke auf meinen Zettel und ich sehe alles erledigt. Alle Fragen, die uns eingereicht wurden, haben wir genannt. I'm done. Und heiser. Warum auch immer.
Ja, okay. Weil du alkoholfreies Bier trinkst.
Ja, genau, das wäre mir.
That's why once you get this finished, we can get a real beer. I know what you do.
Yeah, so Bill, thank you very much for being with us, and it was
absolutely my pleasure.
It was our pleasure, and so good to hear you, and I can say so good to see you. So we keep in touch, and
please,
and we wish you all the best, and say hello to your wife.
I will.
Yeah, yes. From the whole team, and we keep contact, and we let you know when we get together, or we send emails.
I've heard from Dirk, and I've also heard from Thomas. Mm-hmm. Kurt.
Yeah.
So he and I briefly exchanged a couple of emails.
Ah, schön. Yeah, nice. Uh-huh. So do you want to tell us some last words, like to the old Jets who might be
sure.
listening now?
I mean, to begin with, the years with the Jets are some of the warmest and fondest memories of my football association. Not because I was a coach, but because I was surrounded by so many sincere, warm, enthusiastic people. That will never go away. And for that, I am always going to think well of the Bonner Jets. And beyond that, the special recognition of being honored by getting entered into your Hall of Fame is really beyond thanks. It is much, much gratitude and an honor by any standard. So I want to thank you so much for that and thinking of me and putting me in that light. So for all of that, I greatly appreciate.
Yeah. You deserved it. Very, very welcome. Yeah. Great. So, Udo, dann sage ich, hast du noch letzte Worte an mich? An mich oder an den Bill? Oder
habe ich gehört, dass du mal gesagt, dass du extrem gut heute aussiehst?
Oh, vielen Dank. Nein, das hab ich jetzt vermisst in der Sendung. Der Dirk hat mich auch gar nicht beschimpft zu Beginn. Aber ich glaube, das machen wir nächste Woche im Podcast wieder.
Ich werde das alles nachholen. Aber sehe ich dir schon wieder einen Pflaumen um das Kinn rum? Du warst doch gerade so schön rasiert und sahst aus wie eine Pflaume.
Ja, ich lasse mir jetzt wieder ein bisschen Bart wachsen. Dann gucke ich wieder mal, ob es dann gut aussieht oder
ob es so aussieht wie du. Ob es einem majestätischen Bart wie bei mir reicht.
Ja, natürlich, mein...
Du, you have a lot of work König to do there, Butch.
Yes, it's gonna take a while. Yeah. Okay, dann sage ich nochmal vielen Dank, Bill. Vielen Dank, Dirk. Wir sind jetzt gar nicht so auf dich eingegangen, aber wir werden dich vielleicht nochmal einladen in einer der nächsten Sendungen. Danke für das Mitreden. Du warst eine große Hilfe. Ja,
ja, gerne. Gerne, hat mir Spaß gemacht. Ich war ein bisschen aufgeregt, aber schön. Ach, ja.
Das und, hat und man vielen aber Dank nicht gemerkt.
Vielen Dank, dass ich die Chance hatte, so den Bill Singer nochmal zu treffen. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to meet you, Bill, again. And hope to see you in the future.
It works well for you. Yeah.
Thank you. Ja, ich hoffe doch auch, dass wir den Dirk Schneider hier nochmal einladen. Da gibt es ja noch so ein paar alte Geschichten. Ich habe hier mit Dirk auch so ein paar lustige Geschichten erlebt noch. Und wie war das nochmal damals in dem verlorenen Achtelfinale, Viertelfinale? NRW-Pokal, wo der Heinz Sauer dann damals schrieb, Dirk Schneider blieb vor der Endzone liegen.
da war ein Loch. Da war ein Loch im Rasen. Glaube ich.
Und das mit dem Dirk Schneider hätte ich auch nochmal gerne erklärt, aber das machen wir mal später. Wir laden dich mal ein als Gast.
Da machen wir noch eine Sendung draus und reden mit dem Dirk, ja. So, again, Bill, thank you very much for being with us and all the best to you and yeah. See you one day. Danke.
Danke.
Udo, sag, auf Wiedersehen. Mach mal die Sendung. Auf Wiedersehen.
Udo,
mach mal die Sendung zu.
Genau. Malet Jod, schwenkt der Hut, knallt der Butz fort. Bis nächste Woche.